waiting in the wings.
Well, that's that. You owe me 2 and 6.
You owe me a shilling from last Sunday.
In that case, you only owe me 1 and 6.
We'd better hold it over until next time we play, Canasta.
I thought you'd say that.
Why, may I ask?
Because you always do, dear.
I see they're hoping to get Buck Randy for the midnight matinee this year.
Who in heaven's name is Buck Randy?
Really, May, you must have heard of Buck Randy. He's the rage of America.
I haven't been to America since 1913. What does he do?
He sings stripped to the waist to a zither.
Why should he be stripped to the waist?
Because he's supposed to have the most beautiful male body in the world, dear. He was Mr. America of 1955 and 1956.
Why the zither?
He accompanies himself on it. Last year, one of his records sold over 2 million. He has to have police protection wherever he goes.
I'm not surprised.
They say that Carolita Pagadici is going to appear, too. She's flying over from Rome, specially.
Is that the one with the vast bust, who came last year and just stood about?
I'm sure it's very kind of all of them to take so much trouble for a bunch of old has-beens like us.
Speak for yourself, dear.
I know they got a lot of publicity out of it, but even so, I shouldn't think from their point of view it was worth all the effort.
It is always possible, my dear caller, that just one or two of them might do it from sheer kindness of heart.
I said it was kind of them to take the trouble, and Juanita flew at me.
I didn't fly at you for that. It was because you said we were a bunch of old has-beens.
We wouldn't be here if we weren't.
In essence, you're quite right, my dear Cora. But please remember, before you say things like that again, that it's painful to some of us to be vulgarly reminded that we're dependent on the charity of our younger colleagues.
Oh, dear. I'm sure I'm sorry I spoke.
So are we all, Cora. So are we all.
I'm telling you out here and now that I would like to take the windpipe of the man who invented television in my old rheumatic hands and strangle the damned life out of him.
Has it gone wrong again?
Well, it has indeed, and for no reason in the world other than pure devilment. I was sitting there, quiet as the grave, listening to Father Duggan giving a Sunday afternoon talk, when suddenly the damn contraption gets up to its blasphemous tricks, and before me very eyes I see the blessed Father begin to wobble about like a dancing dervish, with one side of his saintly face pulled out of shape as though it was made of India rubber.
Miss Archie'll fix it, dear. I'll go and ask her.
Oh, by the time Miss Archie's fiddling with the damn thing, the blessed Father will have finished his talk and be having his tea. Well, I'm going to have me 40 winks. It's a dark world we're living in when a bit of soulless machinery can suddenly turn a holy man into a figure of cotton.
That old girl's wonderful. She really is. You must have seen her in the old days, May. Was she really good?
Good, but unreliable. She's never played a scene the same way twice.
I'm perished to the hips, and it's no good pretending I'm not.
Oh, do you think we shall ever get it?
Get what, dear?
The solarium, love.
The letter went off to the committee over 2 weeks ago.
It probably came up at Friday's meeting.
Even if they say yes, I shall be dead and gone before they get round to building it. My heart's been pounding again. I hardly slept a wink last night.
You know perfectly well, Almina, that that's only indigestion. Dr. Jevons told you so. You eat far too much, far too quickly.
I like eating.
That east wind comes straight across the valley and cuts you in two.
Oh, the committee could very well afford it if they chose. Perry told me so himself.
As official secretary to the fund, he had no right to. That young man talks far too much.
Now then, May, you know perfectly well you dote on him. We all do. You gossip away with him for hours whenever you get the chance.
Oh, what nonsense you talk. My dear Bonita.
I suppose he'll be down as usual this afternoon.
Of course he will. It's Sunday. Also, he'll be sure to come today in order to welcome...
Cora!
Well, you know what I mean.
In order to welcome whom?
We've got a new addition to our cozy little family arriving this afternoon.
Why wasn't I told? Who is it?
Oh, dear. That cat's out of the bag now with a vengeance. I suppose we'd better say...
Well, what are you all talking about? Why all this mystery?
It's Lotta Bainbridge.
Lotta Bainbridge?
Yes.
Lotta Bainbridge. Coming here.
We all thought, knowing that you and she are not exactly the best of friends, that it would be better not to say anything about it.
How long have you known?
Perry told us last Sunday.
You mean you were all prepared to let me meet her face to face without even warning me?
Old Dora, her dresser, who's been with her for years, is leaving her to get married, and the maisonette she had just off the Fulham Road is being pulled down to make way for office buildings.
I'm not in the least interested in where she lives or what is being pulled down. I only know that I find your combined conspiracy of silence difficult to forgive.
It was only that we didn't want to upset you.
Do you seriously imagine that it would have upset me less to find her here in this house without being prepared?
Don't be angry with us, May. After all, it was a long, long time ago, wasn't it? The quarrel, I mean.
There was no quarrel, my dear Benita. You have been misinformed.
Well, whatever it was, then...
I have not spoken to Lotta Bainbridge for 30 years, and I have no intention of doing so now.
Oh, May, dear, don't be like that. It's all over and done with.
One of you had better explain the situation to her when she arrives. Don't be afraid she won't understand. She'll understand perfectly.
Well, that's that, isn't it?
I suppose we ought to have told her, really.
They'll probably settle down together in time. They can't go on not speaking forever, but the next few weeks are going to be hell.
Who was it that said that there was something beautiful about growing old?
Whoever it was, I have news for him.
Since I've been here, I somehow can't remember not being old.
Perhaps that's something to do with having played character parts for so long, Estelle.
I was an ingenue for years. I was very pretty, and my eyes were enormous. They're quite small now.
What started it, the feud between her and May?
Come off it, Maudie. You weren't toddling home from school with your pencil box in 1918.
As a matter of fact, that's exactly what I was doing, 8 times a week. I was in Miss Mouse at the Adelphi, and I had a number in the last act called Don't Play the Fool with a Schoolgirl. It used to stop the show.
As far as I can remember, it was the notices that stopped the show. Here's Perry. He's earlier than usual.
Bless his heart.
He'll tell us whether we're going to get the solarium lounge.
Oh, no, he won't. He'll just say that the committee has it under consideration.
In any case, we shall know by his tone whether there's any hope.
I don't know why you're all working yourselves up about this damn solarium. It'll be a waste of money, even if we do get it. Just so much more glass for the rain to beat against.
That's right, dear. Keep us all in hysterics.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Perry.
My dears, I'm in trouble.
What sort of trouble?
I knocked over a milk cart in Maidenhead. Fortunately, they were mostly empties. The milkman was livid. Where's old May?
Upstairs.
Good.
Not so good. She knows.
Oh, Lord, who told her?
We all did. We had to.
Well, maybe it's all for the best.
It isn't. She's hopping mad.
Oh, poor Lotta. She's got enough to put up with without this.
When's she arriving?
Any minute now. Musgrave lent her his car and Dora's bringing her down with all her bits and pieces.
Have you seen her?
Yes, last week. I went along to her flat and had tea with her. Made all the final arrangements.
How did she look?
Sort of miserable, but she tried not to show it. I don't think she minds about the flat so much. It's Dora leaving her that's really got her down. Where's the Colonel?
In our office, deciding whether we're going to have shepherd's pie or macaroni cheese for supper, I expect.
We had macaroni cheese last night, and it nearly killed me.
And there you are, Perry.
Hello, Ducks.
I thought I heard the old bike.
The old bike's older than ever since the last half hour. She grazed her knees against a milk cart.
Whew. Good Lord, that means 10 days confined to barracks for you, my lad.
Ooh, I love to hear you talk like that, Archie. Reminds me of my Uncle Edgar.
Never mind about your Uncle Edgar now, Perry. What time is Lotta Bainbridge arriving?
Any moment. She's coming down in Billy Musgrave's car.
Nobody tells me anything. Has Osgood been yet?
No, he's late.
How is poor old Martha?
She was a bit under the weather on Friday and yesterday, but she always perks up on Sundays when he visits her.
Old Osgood must be 70 if he's a day.
Were they ever lovers, do you think, in the old days?
Good heavens, no. He's 25 years younger than she is to start with. No, it's just star worship, a sort of obsession. He used to wait outside stage doors for her when she was in her heyday, and he was only a young boy. Rain or shine, there he'd be with his bunch of violets.
He still brings her violets.
I know. It really is rather sweet, isn't it?
I was in the last play she ever did. We all loathed her.
Oh, there he is now, I expect. I'll answer. Doreen's gone to the village.
Is Doreen working out all right?
She has adenoids and no time sense. But she's better than that awful Gladys.
I rather liked Gladys. She was like a bad character performance in Act 3.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon. Hello, Osgood. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, my dear. A little twinge every now and then, you know, but apart from that, fit as a fiddle.
I'll take you up.
Oh, no, please, don't trouble Miss Archie. I know the way. She is expecting me, isn't she?
Oh, yes, Mr. Meeker, she's always expecting you.
Has she been happier this week?
Yes, she was a little low on Friday and yesterday, but nothing to worry about.
Oh, well, I'll go on up there.
And I'll have a cup of tea for you when you come down.
Oh, thank you, my dear, thank you. That will be delightful.
Do you think she recognizes him?
Oh, yes. She's never caught her on one of her bad days. She gets quite gay with him sometimes, tells him risque stories about the past. Her memory's fantastic, at least for things that happened a long while ago.
But that's quite usual, isn't it? I mean, when people get old, they can recall, say, Queen Victoria's Jubilee, and yet not be able to remember what happened last week.
Nothing did.
One thing I can remember, and that is that we wrote a round robin to the committee 2 weeks ago about having a solarium lounge so that we could enjoy the sun without being frozen to death. Did they read it, Perry?
Yes, it came up at Friday's meeting.
What did they say?
They said they'd consider it.
There, now, what did I tell you?
Is there any hope, do you think?
Of course there is. We must always look on the bright side.
Didn't anyone ever suggest sending for an estimate?
I gave them an estimate.
How much?
2,500.
God almighty, what are they planning to build it of? Uranium?
Well, in the frontage, I expect. It's a very wide frontage, and glass costs an awful lot.
Were any of the committee in favour of it?
One or two, but not the majority.
Do you mean to say the fund couldn't afford it, even after Morris's legacy?
Well, that's already been invested.
What did Moody Neversole say?
She was not in favour of it.
Oh, she wasn't she?
Look here, Perry, my lad, you know you're not supposed to discuss the committee.
Oh, go and form fours for a minute, dear. This is important to all of us.
Moody Neversole, indeed. I'd like to strangle her.
So would I, if I could find her neck.
I say, steady.
I really can't say any more. She was just a bit more bossy about it than the others.
You mean she swung them round against the idea?
Well, yes, I suppose so.
Oh, perhaps it was too much to ask. The home is very comfortable on the whole, but it would have been nice to enjoy the sun when it comes out without having to face that awful east wind.
I promise I'll bring it up again at the next meeting.
That Boody Neversole. I'll have a few words to say to her the next time she comes bouncing down here in her bloody Bentley.
Oh, for heaven's sake, let's change the subject. It doesn't matter all that much, anyhow. A little while ago, we'd none of us even heard of a solarium. We've all got one foot in the grave anyway.
Excuse me while I slip into my shroud.
Oh, that'll be Lotta Bainbridge, I expect.
Oh, be a good chap, Perry, and yell for Ted to take up the bags. He's in the kitchen.
Right. Ted! Ted!
I'll go to the door. Oh, I hate welcoming new arrivals. They always look sort of lost.
It's nothing to the way they look after they've been here a few months.
Why do you say that, Cora? You know you don't really mean it.
Perhaps I was trying to be funny.
Come along. This way, Miss Bainbridge.
Well, this is all very exciting, rather like going to a new school. Except, of course, that at a new school one doesn't meet old friends. Cora, I haven't seen you for years.
No.
How do you do, Miss Bainbridge?
Miss Melrose?
Yes.
We're not exactly old friends, but I have admired you so often. I remember you years ago singing a most enchanting song dressed as a schoolgirl. I've forgotten the name of the play.
It was Miss Mouse at the Adelphi.
Miss Mouse, of course it was. You're Benita Belgrave, aren't you? I'd recognize you anywhere. I knew you were here because we have a great friend in common, Lucas Bradshaw.
Luke Bradshaw? I didn't know he was still alive. How is the old soak?
Still soaking, I'm afraid, but only every now and then. He comes to see me sometimes in his more lucid moments, and we reminisce about the good old days.
A lot of that goes on here.
Between ourselves, you know, I'm really getting a bit tired of the good old days. But I suppose it is fun once in a while to wander back for a little.
You know Almina Clare?
Oh, of course I do. Almina! Oh, you really are very naughty to have put on so much weight. You used to be thin as a rail.
I like eating, and there's no need to diet anymore.
No, I suppose there isn't, really.
And this is Estelle Craven.
Hello.
How do you do?
Welcome to St. Trinian's, Miss Bainbridge.
Why, Mr. Lasco, I had no idea you'd be here to greet me. How very nice. This is my beloved Dora.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Dora.
She's going to be married in a month's time. We don't talk about being separated much because we burst into tears. Now, why don't you go upstairs, Dora, and do just a little unpacking for me as a sort of final gesture?
It's all right.
Would you be very kind and show her where my room is, Miss Archibald?
Yes, certainly. Follow me, Dora.
Yes, Miss Archibald.
May I take your coat?
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, dear. I really felt quite nervous when I came in, like a first night. But I feel better now. Sarita Myrtle's here, isn't she?
Yes, but she's a bit round the bend, as you probably know.
Poor Sarita. She was always vague, even in the old days.
May Davenport is here, too.
Yes. Yes, I know she is. I wonder who painted that picture of dear Ellen Terry. It really isn't very good, is it? But even flat painting can't quite subdue her radiance, can it?
It's awfully nice to have you here, Miss Bainbridge. We're all tremendously thrilled.
Thank you, dear. Thank you very much.
Why don't you sit here quietly for a little and relax and sort of get accustomed to the atmosphere? It's about time for our afternoon snooze, anyhow. Are you coming up, Cora?
Yes, I suppose so.
You all know, don't you, that May Davenport and I have not been on speaking terms for many, many years?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Don't worry. It'll all work out in the long run.
The situation is not without humour. It's certainly ironic that fate should arrange so neatly for May and me to end our days under the same roof. No, all I want to explain to you is that I am fully armed with olive branches. I couldn't bear to think that my coming here was in any way an embarrassment for you. I shall do my best, but please don't blame me too much if I fail. May is fairly implacable.
I suppose it would be too much to ask what caused the feud in the first place.
Yes, Cora, it would. In any case, it would be redundant, because I'm well aware that you know the whole story.
If ever I heard a cue for exit, Cora, that's it. Come on up, Almina. You too, Maud.
See you later, Miss Bainbridge.
Yes, au revoir, Miss Mouse.
Oh, it wasn't me that was Miss Mouse. I was only the soubrette. It was poor Dolly Drexel. Actually, it was the last thing she did before she went off her rocker. You remember her, don't you?
Vaguely.
China blue eyes and no middle register.
We mustn't forget to ask Miss Archie to fix the television before tonight. There's a new quiz game.
I hate quiz games.
You never actually played Rebecca at the Sunnybrook Farm, did you, dear?
I don't know. I think it's a long time ago.
Would you like to be left alone for a bit?
Oh, no. No, I'm quite happy. Dora will be down in a minute anyhow, and then, if you don't mind, I should like you to leave us. It'll be a rather painful goodbye scene, I'm afraid. She's been working up for it all day.
Is Billy's car taking her back to London?
Yes. It was dear of him to lend it to me. She'll go back to the flat and do all the final tidying up. Poor old Dora. I shall miss her dreadfully.
You'll soon get to like it here. I'm sure you will.
I'm sure I shall, too.
If there's anything that really upsets you, I mean anything that you really hate, do let me know, privately. And then if necessary, I can tactfully bring it up before the committee.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind. I don't suppose there will be.
Well, just remember, if you need me, I'll be down like a flash.
Thank you. You gave up the theatre very young, didn't you?
Yes, 6 years ago, when I was 33.
Why?
I started out believing I was going to be a star. And then I suddenly realised that I wasn't.
I see. Do you regret it?
No, not really. Every now and then I get a pang or two when I see some young man prancing about the stage. And I think to myself, I could have done that better. But really, deep down, I'm not altogether sure that I could have.
And you like this job? You like having to cope with all these old shadows?
It's a fixed salary to start with, so Mum's taken care of. And I love the old shadows. The committee gets me down a bit sometimes, but you can't have everything.
Oh, Dora's nearly finished. Miss Bainbridge will be down in a minute. Unless you care to go up.
No, I'd rather wait here, I think.
Buzz off for a minute, Perry. There's a good chap. I'd like to have a little talk with Miss Bainbridge.
Where shall I buzz to?
Well, go and look at the telly.
I can't. It's bust.
Oh, I bet that's old Deirdre. She's always losing her temper and bashing it with her stick. I'll deal with it later.
I'll brave the east wind in the garden.
Good.
Goodbye for the moment, Miss Bainbridge.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for being so considerate and kind.
Good value, that lad. We get on like a house on fire.
I'm glad. I'm sure it's awfully important that you should.
Perry's the liaison officer between the committee and me. We have our ups and downs occasionally, of course. But most of the time we manage to keep on an even keel. Now then, in regard to rules and regulations...
Oh, dear.
Don't be alarmed. There aren't many restrictions.
Are we allowed out alone?
Oh, Lord, yes. You can go anywhere you like.
Not quite, I'm afraid.
One rule we're very firm about is... no pets.
Yes, I know. Mr. Lasco explained that to me last week. I had my little dog put to sleep the day before yesterday. I bought him at the Army and Navy stores 9 years ago when he was a tiny puppy. He was very devoted to me, and I don't think he would have been happy with anyone else.
I say, I'm most awfully sorry. That's damned hard luck.
Please don't sympathize with me about it. It's the only thing among my present rather dismal circumstances that is liable to break me down.
Yes, I quite understand.
Oh, here comes Dora. I wonder if you'd be very kind and leave us alone for a few minutes. Mm. She has to get back to London. You can brief me about the rest of the rules and regulations later on. I expect there'll be lots of time.
Of course. Well, cheerio for the moment. I'll be in my office if you want me.
How's the room, Dora?
Quite nice, dear. It's a bit chintzy. There's a pretty view, and it is quiet.
Where is it?
Second door to the right, along the passage. Do you want to come up now?
No. I'll save it until after you've gone.
I can't go away and leave you here, dear. I thought I could, but I can't.
Oh, no, don't talk nonsense, Dora. Of course you can. You must. There's nothing else to be done anyhow. You know that as well as I do.
I can't bear it. After all these years, I just can't bear it.
Pull yourself together, my dear, for my sake, as well as for your own.
I'll tell Frank he'd better go off and marry someone else. I swear to God I will. You and me find a flat somewhere and go along as we always have. I can't go off and leave you in a sort of workhouse.
Oh, it isn't a workhouse, Dora. It's a very smart home for retired actresses. And in a few days, when the first strangeness has worn off, I'm quite sure I shall be far happier here and far less lonely than I would be in a flat. And you couldn't have stayed with me much longer anyhow, because I couldn't afford it. And if I died, I should have nothing to leave you, and you'd be alone. I couldn't bear to think of that. We've talked about this over and over again. Oh, please, please, dear Dora, don't cry any more. It isn't nearly as bad as it looks. Now, you promised, remember, to come down and see me next Sunday fortnight.
Yes. Yes, I know.
I shall look forward to it. And I shall write to you first thing tomorrow and let you know how my first meeting with May went off.
Horrible old cat.
Oh, no. She may have mellowed with the years.
I'll give her mellow if I get within spitting distance of her.
Oh, Dora. Darling old Dora. I want you now, this very minute, to go out of the house, get into the car and drive away. Now, don't let either of us say another word. I'm beginning to feel a little tremulous myself. Please,
Please, dearest old friend, away with you.
I've put the snapshot of Pucci on the mantelpiece. The one with the ball in his mouth.
Thank you, Dora. Thank you. Oh, they ought to be here soon. Is the soup on?
Yes, Miss Archibald.
I just took a look at the two old ladies. They're both asleep. I hope the others won't disturb them. You'd better have a kettle going, too. Some of them will probably want tea.
Yes, Miss Archibald.
Sorry to keep you up, Doreen. You can have an extra hour in the morning. They'll all be kipping late after tonight. Still raining, damn it. That means the roads will be greasy and Baxter will have to drive slowly.
The show's tomorrow, isn't it, Miss Archibald?
Yes. Tonight, really. It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Is it true that Buck Randy's in it?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, he's smashing.
You've never seen him, have you?
He was on the telly last week. The man made him take off his shirt and sing a song. It was lovely.
Miss Myrtle, I thought you were asleep.
Everyone's forgotten me. The house is empty and I'm left alone, except for Martha Clarendon.
You didn't wake her, did you?
No, I passed her door on tiptoe and she was snoring.
Miss Myrtle, you're really very naughty. You ought to be in bed, you know you ought.
Oh, please, please, let me come to the fire. My room is so cold.
You know that's not true, dear. It's right next to the airing cupboard.
Out, Dan, spot out, I say. One, two. Why, then, tis time to do it.
You must not quote Macbeth in this house, Miss Myrtle. You know how it upsets everybody.
There isn't anybody to upset. All the rooms on the landing are empty, vast and wandering air. Perhaps it's the end of the world. Oh, good heavens, sandwiches. Whoever thought of sandwiches on the Day of Judgment?
It isn't the Day of Judgment, old dear. It's 3 o'clock on Monday morning and you must go back to bed.
But why the sandwiches?
They're for the others when they come back from the rehearsal at the Palladium. You went with them last year, don't you remember?
Why didn't I go this year?
Because Dr. Jevons said it would be bad for you. He said your heart wasn't up to it.
There isn't anything wrong with my heart. It's my head that betrays me. It's so noisy. The island is full of noises. My head is an island. An island is a piece of land entirely surrounded by water. Please, may I have a glass of water?
Doreen, run into the kitchen and get her one. There's a good girl.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Now, Miss Myrtle, you go back to bed and I'll bring the water up to you.
Who is that girl who runs about?
You know Doreen, dear. She brings you your breakfast every morning.
Doreen is a very common name, don't you think?
Well, that's not her fault.
All names ending in een are common. Doreen, Maureen, Noreen.
Eileen, Kathleen, they're all right, aren't they?
Eileen and Kathleen who?
Here you are, Miss Myrtle.
What's this for?
You asked for a glass of water.
Thank you, my dear, kind child. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the performance.
What does she mean?
Never mind. Just say yes. It saves time.
Oh, yes, Miss Myrtle.
I'm afraid it was a rather dull matinee audience, but it was the boat race, I expect. Their minds were divided.
Take her back to bed, Doreen.
I don't care for sandwiches, as a rule, but tonight I am hungry as a hunter.
Mm. Oh, here they are. Run and open the door, Doreen.
Oh, yes, Miss Archibald.
You really must go back to bed, Miss Myrtle. Whatever would Dr. Jevons say if he found you wandering about the house in the middle of the night in your dressing gown?
Oh, please. Please don't send me back to bed. It's so lonely and cold upstairs with all those empty rooms. Please let me stay here. Please, please.
There, oh, dear. There's nothing to cry about. All right, you can stay down here if you really want to, but do try not to get overexcited.
I don't know who you are, but you smell like horses.
It's raining cats and dogs. Oh, I thought we'd never get here.
Good God, what's Sarita doing? Oughtn't she to be in bed?
She woke up and came down only a few minutes ago, and I can't get her back.
Hello, dear. I haven't seen you for a long time.
I've been away on tour.
You can bring in the soup now, Doreen.
Okay, Miss Archibald.
I'm absolutely exhausted. I thought that ash with the sizzle would never stop.
Personally, I'm going straight up to bed. I don't want any soup. It might wake me up. Good night.
Good night, Lorna.
Now, how was the rehearsal?
Oh, very good, but I fear much too long.
Why do they have to have all those microphones?
None of them nowadays can project their voices beyond a whisper.
I thought Marjorie Atherton's dance with all the men was very charming.
Very, considering that she can't put one foot in front of the other.
There's that girl who brings me my breakfast. What's she doing here?
That's Doreen, dear. You remember Doreen, don't you?
Of course I do. We shared digs in Wolverhampton years and years ago, don't you remember?
Well, Miss Merkel, I am...
Of course she remembers. Who would forget a thing like that?
You can hop off to bed now, Doreen.
Okay, Miss Archie, thanks.
Thank you for waiting up for us, Doreen. I'm afraid you must be very tired.
Oh, it's a pleasure, I'm sure, Miss.
Don't forget to turn the gas out on the landing. We promised Mrs. Worsley we would, and we don't want any more scenes.
Okay, Miss Merkel.
Head like a sieve, that girl. No concentration. She dried up dead in the first act last night, just stood there with her mouth opening and shutting silently like a carp. Poor Ronnie was frantic.
Bedtime now, old dear.
I know. Can't afford to lose our beauty sleep. Train call tomorrow at 9:30. Oh, dear. I must remember to give a little present to that girl who keeps running about. What is her name?
Doreen, dear.
Poor child. Fancy being saddled with a name like that. Sounds like an eye lotion.
Well, girls, here's to the midnight matinee from which all our blessings flow.
And to all those very kind people who worked so hard for it.
Here, here.
Poor old Sarita. Do you think she'll ever get any better? Or just go on and on, getting madder and madder?
She'll probably stay about the same. She's quite happy most of the time. At least that's what Dr. Jevons says.
It's a form of escape, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose so.
Miss Archie's wonderful with her.
Miss Archie's a pretty good sort taken all round.
If only she didn't make us feel we ought to present arms all the time.
Here's some soup, May. I said, here's some soup, May. Would you like it or not? Are you never going to break down?
Oh, for goodness sake, May Davenport, it's shame you should be feeling. Walking through the last years of your life with your head so high and your heart so full of hatred.
Please don't talk to me like that. Mind your own business.
It is Deirdre's business, May. It's the business of all of us in this house to live together as amicably as possible without causing each other any embarrassment.
Yes, you take my advice, you'll pay no attention to her. She's warming her cold heart at the fire of her own hatred. Take that away and she'll freeze to death, you mark my words.
I'll mark them, Deirdre, but I fear at the present moment they are not being very helpful.
Oh, well, the sweet waters of oblivion for me. I'll say a couple of Hail Marys before I drop off in case the good Lord should see fit to gather me to his bosom in the middle of the night.
Somehow I don't feel that he will. Good night, Deirdre.
Good night.
May? May, I want to talk to you.
Please let me pass.
I have no intention of letting you pass, nor have I any intention of allowing you to carry on this idiocy any longer. We've now been in this house together for a month without addressing one word to each other, and the situation is intolerable. You are going to listen to me, to what I have to say, so you'd better make up your mind to it.
I am not.
Stay where you are.
Leave go of me immediately. You must be out of your mind.
Listen to me. I implore you to listen to me. Not for my sake. I don't care if you never speak to me again. But for the sake of all the other people in this house. The age-old feud must be resolved here and now. If we were living our ordinary lives, it would be different. We could go on avoiding each other, as we have done for the last 30 years. But here we can't. Here we are forced to see each other, morning, noon and night, until we die. We'd better face this fact, May. We've fallen on evil days, and there's no sense in making them more evil than they need be. Oh, do let us, for God's sake, forget the past and welcome our limited future with as much grace as possible.
Eloquently put, Lotta. I would be the last to deny your sentimental appeal to an audience.
Once a ham, always a ham.
I did my best. I shan't try any more. It's a waste of time. And there's so little time left. Thank God.
Hello, Doreen. How are you?
Nice name, through here, is it?
Where is everyone?
Oh, upstairs, I think. All except Miss Clark and Miss Davenport. They've gone for a walk.
Is Miss Archie in her office?
Yes, sir.
You might tell her we're here.
Okay, sir.
Oh, quite a nice room. Who's that bust off?
Sir Hilary Brooks. He founded the place.
Oh, my mother was crazy about him when she was young. He used to wait in pit queues for hours and hours. Hmm. I have a feeling he was rather an old ham. Oh, my grandmother was crazy about her, Ellen Terry.
A keen theatre-going family.
Good Lord, yes, they never stopped. I was dragged screaming to matinees from the age of four onwards.
Didn't you enjoy them?
Not the jolly pantomimes and children's plays. I can't think of Peter Pan to this day without a shudder.
Oh, I love Peter Pan.
That's because you've got a mother fixation. All sensitive lads with mother fixations worship Peter Pan.
I expect I've got a crocodile fixation, too.
Not to more offence, you might be a minute.
Thanks, Doreen.
Who is the oldest inmate here?
Martha Carrington. She's pushing 95.
Good Lord.
And what's more, she still has a beau.
Ooh.
Osgood Meeker. He's just a kiddie of 70. He comes to visit her every Sunday, rain or shine. He's probably up with her now. He always brings her violets.
Oh, good. That's the sort of stuff I want.
You will be careful, won't you? Don't mention names more than you can help.
Don't worry, I'll be discretion itself. It's just possible, though, that one or two of them may recognise me.
I shouldn't think so. You haven't started your new television programme yet.
No, but they'll know my name from the column.
I'll introduce you as Miss Starkey.
Why Starkey, for heaven's sake?
Peter Pan again. Oh. It's an obsession with me.
Where are they going to put the, if they get it?
Solarium.
Ah.
Through the French windows, there.
Oh.
We want to glass the whole terrace in. It would mean an awful lot to them to be able to enjoy the sun without the wind. As it is, they can hardly ever use the terrace unless the weather's perfect.
Oh, yes, I see what you mean. Well, Dan House was built in the wrong place to begin with.
Hello, Perry. I didn't hear the old bike.
Hello, Archie. No, I came down with a friend. May I introduce Miss Starkey? Miss Archibald.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
She drives like a fiend. I think she has a Stirling Moss fixation.
Good show.
I've got an old Jag convertible. Quite a nice little job.
I should just say so. What can you do in her?
Up to 120 on the open road.
Wizard.
Perhaps I'd better leave you girls to your feminine secrets.
I had an MG just after the war, but I ran it into a lorry.
Butterfingers?
Were you WAFs, Rens, or ATS?
Answer.
Oh, Lord. That must have been a bit tricky, having to deal with all those actors.
Oh, it was damned interesting. My job, of course, was mainly administrative, but I managed to get about a bit. Cairo, Bombay, Burma. Better than staying at home and pen-pushing in some ministry.
I was a Wren. Malta for 2 years.
Good for you. Hello, Penny.
Hello, Cora. May I introduce an old friend of mine? Miss Starkey, Miss Cora Clark.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And Miss May Davenport.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
My father was one of your greatest admirers, Miss Davenport.
I fear you must be confusing your father with your grandfather, my dear.
Have you had a nice walk?
Very pleasant. We managed to hobble to the towpath and back.
Miss Starkey was most anxious to come and see the wings and everything, so I brought her down to tea.
How nice. If you'll forgive us for a moment or two, we'll go upstairs and take off our things. A bientôt, Miss Starkey.
Is Osgood here today?
Of course. Never misses a Sunday.
Lotta Bainbridge is here, isn't she?
Yes. Yes, she came in June.
Lotta Bainbridge and May Davenport. Wasn't there a famous quarrel or something? I seem to remember hearing about it.
Yes, there was.
What was it about?
I don't know. It was ages ago, anyhow.
Have they kissed and made friends?
Well, no, not exactly. Actually, it's a bit tricky.
There's a good story in that, isn't there?
Story? How do you mean?
Old foes still feuding in the twilight of their lives.
That sounds like newspaper stuff.
Yes. Yes, it does rather, doesn't it?
There you are, Miss Archie. I didn't see you when I arrived, so I went straight up as usual. I hope you don't mind.
No, of course not.
She's in splendid form today. Positively blooming.
May I... this is Miss Starkey, Mr. Meeker.
How do you do?
How do you do? Hello, Mr. Lasco.
Hello, sir.
I understand that you visit Miss Carrington every Sunday.
Oh, yes. Yes, ever since she first arrived here years ago. It's become quite a little ritual, hasn't it, Miss Archie?
Rather.
I think... Well, I hope it gives her pleasure. It seems to.
Oh, of course it does, Mr. Meeker. She looks forward to it all through the week.
How long is it since she retired?
Oh, many, many years. 30 or more. I last saw her in the '20s in the late Mrs. Robert at the St. James's, you know. She was getting on in years even then. But she was as witty and stylish as ever. She had a special way of moving about the stage that was all her own. Effortless and with such infinite grace. I saw her for the first time in 1906, I think it was, in The Lavender Girl.
The Lavender Girl? That's certainly going back a bit.
Yeah, I was only 18 at the time, and I quite lost my heart. Well, those were her great years, you know, her musical comedy years. There was nobody like her, and there never will be again. All London was at her feet.
I remember my parents talking about her.
Do you?
She hadn't much of a voice, had she?
Well, I suppose she hadn't much of anything, really, except magic. And she had a great deal of that.
And now she's dying upstairs.
No, Miss... living upstairs. I don't think she will ever die. Not quite.
Bully for you, Mr. Meeker.
I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
And would you like to have your tea in my office as usual, Mr. Meeker, or will you wait and have it with all of us in the dining room?
Oh, neither today, thank you, Miss Archie. I have an appointment in London. I can just catch the 4:40 if I hurry.
You're quite sure? No trouble.
Oh, quite sure. Thank you all the same. You're always so kind. Goodbye, Mr. Lasco.
Goodbye, sir. Until next Sunday?
Oh, yes, yes, next Sunday. Goodbye, Miss...
Starkey. Goodbye.
Your parents were quite right. She hadn't much of a voice, but it didn't matter. I really do assure you, it didn't matter in the least.
There's certainly gold in these Yarra hills. Miss Archibald, would it be all right if I took a few shots of the house from the garden? Were the lights still good?
Shots?
Snapshots. For my memory book. My camera's in the car.
I'll get it.
No. Don't you trouble. I'd like to wander around on my own for a bit anyhow. I shan't be long.
What is going on?
How do you mean?
Who is she, Perry?
Why, I told you. She's an old friend of mine, Miss Stark.
You're up to something.
Don't be silly. What would I be up to?
She's pressed, isn't she?
Yes. Yes, she's Zelda Fenwick.
Zelda Fenwick? The one who writes all that hogwash in the Clarion?
Yes.
Good God, have you gone out of your mind? You know that press interviews are dead against the rules.
She has a lot of influence.
Do any of the committee know she's here?
But of course not. It was my idea.
Now look here, my lad. You're going to get yourself into serious trouble.
I don't care. I want the old girls to get that solarium. The committee has dug its feet in. I've done everything I can to persuade them, but they're as stubborn as mules. The fund could afford it perfectly well. I've got another estimate from Weatherby's, only 1,800.
What has all this got to do with Zelda Fenwick?
I said that if she'd promised to make an appeal for us on her television programme, I'd arrange for her to have an exclusive story on the wing.
You'll get the sack, you'll get us both the sack. Why the hell didn't you consult me first?
Well, you needn't know anything about it, I'll take the rap.
I can't agree to it. You'll have to get her out and quick, pack up the whole idea.
Don't get into such a frizz. Well, she's promised to let me see whatever she writes before it goes in.
Oh, I've heard that one before. I don't like it, Perry. I don't like it one little bit. It's going dead against the regulations.
The old girls have built up this solarium in their minds as the one thing in the world they really want. I don't see why they should be deprived of it just because some dizzy fathead like Boody Nethersole talks a lot of hot air about needless expenditure.
Who were in favour of it?
Laura, Dame Maggie, old Cecil Murdoch. A few of the others were wavering, but they allowed themselves to be overruled.
Damn it. I don't know what to think.
Well, it isn't needless expenditure anyway. It would make a very real difference to their health and comfort.
All right. I'll play ball.
At a girl.
We shall probably find ourselves up the old creek, but they can't fire us both.
They can, but they won't. They'd have to find replacements. And the few of them that really take an interest and do the work, like Laura and Dame Maggie, know damn well that's easier said than done.
Look out. Sarita's coming.
Oh, Lord.
Let's go into my office.
Right.
Hello. Oh, how do you do? How do you do? I'm afraid my sister is at a rehearsal, but she's sure to be back soon. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Isn't that pretty?
Yes, very, very pretty.
Well, when we were very young, we used to have boxes of coloured matches on Guy Fawkes Day, and the tips of them were different from ordinary matches, longer and fatter like little black sausages. When you struck them, they were like red and green stars.
You must forgive my ignorance, but I don't know your name. Mine is Zelda Starkey.
Miserable Starkey.
What's yours?
I'm Sarita Myrtle. I expect that surprises you, doesn't it?
Yes, of course.
I've always looked so much younger than my age. It's an advantage in a way, of course, but one can't go on playing ingenues forever, can one?
How long have you been here?
Oh, quite a while.
It's a very nice house, isn't it?
Capacity.
Are you happy here on the whole?
Oh, yes, except on matinee days. I hate those tea trays. They're so distracting.
Are they kind to you?
Oh, yes. Sometimes they are a little dull in the first act, but they generally warm up.
Is your room comfortable?
It's cold. She says it isn't because it's next to the airing cupboard. But she doesn't always speak the truth, I'm afraid.
Is she Miss Archibald?
Yes, I think so. It's difficult to be quite sure. People's faces change so. It's very confusing. There.
What the hell are you doing with those matches, Sarita Myrtle? Is it burning us all to send us that you're after?
Please go back to bed this very minute.
How do you do?
Never you mind how I do. Come away with you before Miss Archie catches you and clubs you in irons. Take her on, Estelle.
For heaven's sake, keep your voice down, Rupert. The children will hear.
Come on now.
Henceforward, Mr. Cartwright, we must regard one another as strangers. I can say no more. Farewell.
Go after Estelle and see her safe in her bed. You have more of a way with her than I have. The poor old thing's a bit weak in the head.
Yes, I gather that.
My name's Deirdre O'Malley. You a friend of Miss Archer's?
No. As a matter of fact, I came down with Perry Lasco. I'm just a stray visitor. I've heard so much about the wings, and I wanted to see it for myself. My name is Starkey.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you, I'm sure. A new face is always a bit of a treat. We get tired of looking at our own old ones year in, year out.
Have you been here long?
Nearly 20 years. Oh. I've seen a lot of them come and go, but the good Lord seemed fit to let me linger on.
Are you happy here?
As happy as you could expect a bunch of old women to be when the tide of life has turned away from them and they're left high and dry waiting for the grave.
Is the food good?
Oh, that's a practical question and deserves a practical answer. No, it is not.
What's wrong with it?
You're not one of the committee, are you?
No.
Good. I'd have a few home truths to tell you if you were.
Aren't you being a little bitter, Miss O'Malley?
Ah, bitter, is it? You'd be bitter if the last years of your life were controlled by a lot of gabbing clibbity-gibbets who don't really give a hoot in hell whether you're alive or dead.
You wouldn't stay off, of course, and give the understudy a chance, not her. And the result was that the whole company went down with mumps.
I had mumps once in Inverness. I nearly went mad.
Oh,
how do you do?
This is a friend of Perry's, Miss...
Starkey.
I'm Benita Belgrave, and this is Maud Melrose.
How do you do?
I'm beginning to think that the Sunday Times must be subsidised by the French government, Cora.
Do you think so?
Why, Perry, I thought you deserted us.
No, of course not. Miss Archie and I have been having a little gossip.
Is that your car outside?
Yes.
It's a beauty, isn't it? I saw it from the lavatory window.
Really, my dear Bonita, there's no need to be over explicit.
Well, I couldn't have seen it from my own window because it faces in the opposite direction.
When I think of the changes in the world during the span of my own miserable lifetime, my head reels. That's no lie.
Your lifespan hasn't been in the least miserable, Deirdre. You've enjoyed every minute of it and still do.
And what is there to enjoy, I should like to know? Loitering about here in mid-dotage, getting feebler and wearier with every blessed breath I take.
Oh, pay no attention to Deirdre, Miss Starkey. She loves talking like that.
She also takes considerable pleasure in embarrassing the rest of us.
Maybe it's the unacceptable ring of truth behind me words that embarrasses you, May Davenport.
I wish you would address me either as May or Miss Davenport, Deirdre. May Davenport sounds like a roll call.
You can save your almighty arrogance until you get to the final roll call, Miss May Davenport.
Now then, Deirdre, that's no way to talk when there are strangers present. Oh,
nothing I do is right, nothing I say is right. If I fell into the dark waters of the river this very night, I doubt if anyone would lift a finger to help me.
The Irish can never resist cheap sentimentality.
Oh, May, don't make things worse, for heaven's sake.
What's happening?
Nothing much. Deirdre's getting a bit out of hand, that's all.
Out of hand, is it?
Yes, it is. Be quiet.
Lotta, I don't think you've met Miss Starkey.
Hello, how are you? Miss Starkey? Yes, I came down with Perry. We're old friends.
Is Starkey your private name?
Private name?
You're really Zelda Fenwick, aren't you? The one who writes the People Are News column in the Sunday Clarion.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Oh, Lord, that's torn it.
Is this true, Perry?
Yes, perfectly true.
I saw you on television a few weeks ago. I think, Perry, that it would have been more polite and considerate if you'd introduced Miss Fenwick by her proper name.
I'll explain it later. I'll explain it all later.
I'm sure that no explanation is in the least necessary. It's merely a little confusing.
I beg to differ. A great deal of explanation is necessary. May I ask, Miss Fenwick, if you're here in a professional capacity?
I am always in a professional capacity, Miss Davenport. That is an essential part of my job.
Is the committee aware of your visit to us?
No, and if I may say so, I rather resent your tone. I am not answerable to you for my actions or to your committee.
Just a minute, everybody. Please let me explain.
Be quiet, Perry.
It seems to me that the situation is being rather over-dramatized.
Well, I don't
No, May. No, I'm afraid I must insist on speaking. I'm sure Miss Fenwick will be the first to realize that it will place us all in a most humiliating position if she mentions either the Wings itself or any of its occupants in her newspaper. In the first place, it would be a breach of the rules of this rather specialized charity. And in the second place, I'm sure that even in her professional capacity, she would not wish either to betray our confidence or abuse our hospitality. I am right, aren't I, Miss Fenwick? Well, as a matter of fact...
You will promise, won't you? Even if you had it in mind to write a story about us, not to write it. We're happy enough here, living out our days in this most agreeable backwater. The last thing any of us wants is publicity. It would shed too harsh a light on us, show up all our lines and wrinkles. That would be an unkind thing to do, wouldn't it? We are still actresses in our hearts. We'd like to be remembered as we were, not as we are. You will give us your promise, won't you?
I appreciate what you say, Miss Bainbridge, but I'm afraid I must be honest with you. My editor has been trying to get a story on this place for years. I know you will understand that it isn't only in the theatre that the job must come first. I cannot promise not to write about the Wings.
Well, I'd like to say...
But I can promise to do all I can to help. I've already arranged with Perry that if he let me come here, that I would make an appeal on my TV programme for your solarium.
Solarium? Good God! Are we to sell ourselves to get that damn solarium?
Oh, Cora, please. I'm ashamed of you, Perry. Mortally, mortally ashamed.
Here, steady on. It's no good flying off the handle at Perry. He only did it for the best.
Shame on you. Miss whatever your name is, shame on you for worming your way in here like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now may the Holy Mother of God forgive you for making a mock of a house full of poor, defenseless old women who are only asking to be left in peace and quiet. The devil's curse on you for being a double-faced, scheming hypocrite. Write what you like and be dumb to you. Well, I've had my say.
You certainly have, Deirdre, and I, for one, would like to throttle you.
Oh, I can't stand any more of this. Are you coming, Perry?
No. I've got to stay here.
Goodbye, everybody. I'm sorry to have caused such a hullabaloo.
This whole thing's an outrage. An outrage.
Oh, for heaven's sake, calm down, May.
The committee must be warned immediately. Pressure must be brought to bear.
Personally, I think a great deal of fuss is being made about nothing. What does it really matter whether she writes about us or not?
We shall be publicly degraded.
Nonsense. She'll probably write a lot of sentimental rubbish, which will embarrass us for a little until we forget it and everyone else does too.
Oh, let's go into tea and talk about something else. Come along, Benita. Maud.
May, I really am sorry.
Don't speak to me. Come on, Cora.
Lotta, I did it for the best. Honestly, I did.
I'm sure you did, Perry. But if you'll forgive my saying so, it was an error in taste.
Come on, old chap.
I don't want any tea.
Oh, cheer up. It'll all blow over.
An error in taste. No, I suppose it was, really. But I didn't see it like that.
I don't feel like tea either. Let's pop into my office and have a slug of something a bit stronger.
It's coming from Sarita's room. Wake up the others, Deirdre. I'll fetch Miss Archie.
It'll be like waking the dead, but it'll be bad.
Miss Archie, come quickly.
What is
it? Sarita's room is on fire.
Sarita's room on fire? Oh, don't panic now. Keep calm, everybody.
Oh, out of the way, Miss Davenport. I must get to the fire extinguisher. All form up in your regular lines and wait for orders.
Has anyone telephoned the fire brigade?
No, not yet.
Then I suggest we do so immediately. Come and help me find the number. I've left my glasses upstairs.
So have I.
In that case, we'll dial 999. Nine comes before O. We can't miss it.
Bang the nozzle against the wall. Oh, for God's sake. Somebody shut that window. Having escaped death by burning, it would be idiotic to die of pneumonia.
I only opened it to let the smoke out. We were suffocating.
Poor Sarita. Poor Sarita.
It's all right. Everything's under control. But any of the curtains were caught fire. I've got them on.
Has anyone got any specs? May and I can't see the damn dial. We tried 999, but nothing's happened.
It doesn't matter. It was only the curtains, and Miss Archie's put them out.
Oh, thank God.
It looked so pretty. So very pretty.
Pretty indeed. More thanks to you, Sarita Myrtle, that we're not all charred corpses at this very minute. Burnt to bloody crisps in our beds. And we should have been if I hadn't smelt the smoke. Keep that blanket round you.
Why am I wearing this strange garment? Is this to be an Oriental production?
How did she get a hold of the matches?
She must have pinched them when nobody was looking and hidden them somewhere. You know, Miss Archie always searches her room thoroughly every night.
Well, it's as much as our lives are worth to have her in the house a minute longer.
Calm down, Deirdre.
I'll calm down when I feel like it, not before. And you can put that in your high and mighty pipe and smoke it, May Dunbord.
Do you think we ought to telephone to Dr. Jevons?
What for?
For Sarita, of course. He might give her a sedative or something.
Oh, tell him to bring a straitjacket while he's at it.
Oh, you be quiet, Deirdre. It's unkind to say things like that.
Oh, dear, I wonder how poor old Martha is. I'd better go and see.
I'll go, Lotta. Stay where you are. I've got to get some cigarettes anyhow. I'm shaking like a leaf.
What do you expect with the whole house blazing to the skies?
The house isn't blazing to the skies, Deirdre.
Well, it might well be if I hadn't noticed that smoke curling under me door like a grey serpent.
I know what I could do with, and that's a nip of whiskey. I've got some in my room. How about you, Cora?
Thanks.
Any other offers? Lotta? May?
No, thanks, dear Bonita.
I should love a little. You're very kind.
I'll fetch the bottle.
Now stay by Sarita, Cora, while I go and find some glasses.
What are we all waiting here for in the middle of the night? Is someone going to read a play to us?
That's not anybody who tries.
Martha's all right. Archie's fast asleep. But poor Miss Archie is wet through. Cigarette, anybody?
Oh, thanks, I'd love one.
How is Martha, Maud?
She's fast asleep. She didn't hear a thing.
Here's the booze, girls. Miss Archie's having a wonderful time upstairs, charging about in her pyjamas and shouting orders like a sergeant major. She and Doreen are moving Sarita's things into the room at the end of the passage.
Oh, dear, that's the one next to mine. I shan't sleep a wink, I know I shan't. My heart's pounding as it is.
Take some bismuth, dear.
That was a shame and no mistake. Thank God the jolly old extinguisher worked all right.
It seems to work almost too well. You're soaking.
That was when the damn thing just went off. I was holding it the wrong way round.
Have a drop of this, Mon Colonel, before you catch your death.
Oh, thanks. I could do with a snifter.
I think your presence of mind was absolutely splendid, Miss Archie. We're all very grateful to you.
Here, here.
Oh, I'm glad you agree with me, May.
I think it's time we all went back to bed.
But I'll just slip out of these pyjamas and pop on a dressing gown, and then we'll take Sarita up. I shan't be too shaked.
Come on up, Armina. There's no sense in just sitting about.
Suppose it's a shock, but I'm feeling all trembly.
Well, the shock's over now, so there's nothing to feel trembly about anymore. Come along.
Shock's a very dangerous thing. A friend of mine once saw a man run over by a bus in Newcastle, and 3 days later she fell down dead.
Come on, dear. It's no use being morbid.
I fell in love with Herbert in Newcastle.
Herbert who?
My Herbert, of course. We used to go to Whitney Bay on matinee days and hold hands and look at the sea.
I think I'll go up too. Deirdre, you coming?
Yeah, all right, all right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Maud.
Good night, Maud.
Now, come along, Sarita. Time for Bedfordshire. My brother Armand and I were all in all to each other. He the little father. I, the tiny mother.
Good Lord, the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Give me a hand, Bonita.
Of course.
I'm sorry if I've done anything wrong, but please do not touch me. I cannot bear people to touch me.
Quickly, Bonita, head her off from going to her own room. I don't want her to see it as it is.
The sea was rather muddy, and there was always a wind. But there was a freshness in the air, and we were in love.
Oh, God. It's intolerable.
Of course it is, but it's no use allowing yourself to be upset by it. There's nothing to be done.
I suppose she'll have to be sent away, eventually.
Yes, I suppose she will.
What happens when the mind goes like that? Does it make it better or worse? Living, I mean.
Who knows? More bearable, perhaps. I think Sarita's quite happy.
I expect you to be envied, really. At least she doesn't realize what a bore it all is, all this sitting around and waiting.
Are you coming, May?
No.
I'm going to stand by the fire for a little.
So am I.
Good night, girls.
They were here all the time. My glasses. They were here all the time in my work bag.
And frosts were slain, and flowers begotten, and in green underwood and cover, blossom by blossom, the spring begins.
The fire's nearly out.
There's enough heat left, really. It's not very cold.
Were you happy with him?
Yes. I was happy with him until the day he died.
That's something gained, at any rate, isn't it?
He was a monster sometimes, of course. Those black Irish rages.
Yes, I remember them well. Why did you take him from me?
I didn't. He came to me of his own free will. You must have known that. He wasn't the sort of character that anyone could take from anyone else.
You were prettier than I was.
You know perfectly well that had nothing to do with it. The spark is struck, or it isn't. It's seldom the fault of any one person.
Any one person can achieve a lot by determination.
Would you like a piece of accurate, but rather unpleasant, information?
What do you mean?
There was somebody else.
Somebody else?
Yes. Between the time he left you and came to me.
I don't believe it.
It's quite true. Her name was Lavinia.
Lavinia Parsons.
Not that dreadful girl who played Ophelia with poor old Godfrey.
That's the one.
Are you telling me this in order to exonerate yourself?
No, May. I'm not apologizing to you, you know, nor asking for your forgiveness. I see no reason to exonerate myself. Charles fell in love with me, and I fell in love with him, and we were married. I have no regrets.
You're very fortunate. I have a great many.
Well, don't. It's a waste of time.
What became of your first husband, Webster, whatever his name was?
His name was Webster Bennett. After our divorce in 1926, he went to Canada and died there a few years later.
You had a son, didn't you?
Yes. I had a son.
Is he alive?
Yes. He went to Canada with his father. He's there still. He's had two wives. The first one apparently was a disaster. The second one, we'll hope, is satisfactory.
Does he write to you often?
I haven't heard from him for 17 years.
I'm sorry, Lotta. I'm very sorry.
Thank you. That's kind of you. I was unhappy about it for a long time, but I'm not anymore. He was always his father's boy more than mine. I don't think he ever cared for me much. Except, of course, when he was little.
Why did you come here? Was it absolutely necessary?
Yes, absolutely. I have a minute income of £200 a year, and nothing saved. The last two plays I did were failures, and there was nothing else to be done. Also, I found I couldn't learn lines anymore. That broke my nerve.
That's what really finished me, too. I was always a slow study at the best of times. The strain became intolerable and humiliating, more humiliating even than this.
I refuse to consider this humiliating. I think we've earned this honestly. Really, I do.
Perhaps we have, Lotta. Perhaps we have.
Bonita's left her bottle of whiskey. Would you like a sip?
A very small one.
All right.
Lavinia Parsons. He must have been mad.
She was prettier than you and prettier than me, and a great deal younger than both of us. Here you are.
I must buy a bottle of whiskey tomorrow in Maidenhead. What's really the best sort?
Oh, I don't know. There's Haig and Haig and Black and White. Oh, they're all much of a muchness unless one happens to be a connoisseur. And we're neither of us that.
Well, Lotta, we meet again.
Yes, May dear. We meet again. Happy days.
You really must listen to this, May. It really is too ghastly.
I've already told you I do not wish to hear a word of it.
Old foes still feuding in the twilight of their lives. It's in large black letters, May. The first time we've ever been co-starred.
Well, I can see nothing to laugh at.
It's vulgar and inaccurate and full of treacly sentimentality, I admit, but somehow it isn't as bad as I feared.
I cannot imagine how it could have been much worse.
Well, it might have been a good deal more vindictive. I wouldn't have been surprised after Deirdre's little outburst.
I said what I had in my heart to say to the fawning, deceitful creature, and I don't regret a word of it.
She's even dragged poor old Osgood in. It's lower down in the column after the bit about us all sitting in the garden at dusk, listening to the rooks cawing and wistfully remembering our former triumphs.
Sitting in the garden at dusk, indeed. We should all be eaten alive.
She seemed quite a well-educated young woman. It's curious that she should write so abominably.
No other sort of writing would be accepted by that horrible rag. There is no elegance, dignity, or reticence left. Milton, thou shouldst be living at this hour. England hath need of thee.
Curtain.
Really, listen to this. I wonder if we ordinary people realize how much we owe to these faithful old servants of the public.
wearily playing out the last act of their lives, all passion spent, all glamour gone, unwanted and forgotten, just waiting, waiting in the wings.
That would make a wonderful number, wouldn't it, Maud?
Yes, yes, I've got it. Waiting in the wings, waiting in the wings. Oh, living God, oh, living God, waiting in the wings.
Hopping about the garden like a lot of Douglas things.
Waiting, waiting, waiting in the wings.
Good afternoon, ladies. I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Of course you're not, Osgood. We're just feeling rather skittish.
Well, the front door was on the latch, so I didn't bother to ring the bell.
Quite right. You're one of the family, anyhow.
Oh, how kind of you to say that. How very kind. I suppose it'll be all right if I go straight up.
I'm sure it will. I'll call Miss Archie if you like.
No, 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 please. Don't trouble. I know the way. There's such a nice article about all of you in the Sunday Clarion. I read it in the train coming down. It almost brought tears to my eyes. So sensitively written. Most touching. Most touching.
The poor man must be out of his mind. An honest reaction from an ordinary member of the public.
I give up. It only goes to prove that we are all far too touchy. Yes, Perry.
Poor boy, I feel so sorry for him.
Personally, I find it hard to forgive him for unleashing all this vulgarity on our heads.
Well, then it's shame you should be feeling, May Davenport.
Do you think he's come to say goodbye?
Goodbye? Oh, how awful.
Whatever should we do without him?
I shouldn't. I'd leave.
And where would you go, may I ask?
I'd go and live with my horrible niece in Penge.
Oh, we'd all go on strike.
Suppose this is the last time we should ever see him. I can't bear it.
I think we'd all better keep quite calm until Perry can tell us exactly what happened.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, darling Perry.
Thank you, Maud. I see that one of you has forgiven me at least.
Oh, nonsense. We've all forgiven you ages ago, except May. And she's only holding out so that you can make an extra fuss of her.
Really, Lotta, how can you say such things?
I suppose you've all read it.
We certainly have.
It's no use me saying I'm sorry anymore, is it? I mean, I did write and try and explain.
It was a very nice letter, Perry. Miss Archie read it out to us.
But that was before the special meeting. What happened?
Exactly what I expected would happen.
Oh, Perry.
It was hell.
Oh, poor Perry. It was all my fault. I shall never forgive myself. Never.
What happened exactly, Perry? Tell us.
For heaven's sake, Perry.
Oh, they all flew at me. And Booty Nethersole said a lot about me exceeding my duties and assuming responsibilities that I'd no right to assume.
Silly bitch.
Bonita, please. Go on, Perry.
Dame Maggie had already telephoned to the editor of the Clarion to have Zelda's piece stopped, but he flatly refused. Then, after a lot more talk, they told me that I should have to go. I was sacked.
Oh, Perry, I really am most distressed. We all are.
Even May?
I'm sure I hope it will be a lesson to you in the future.
Oh, really, May? I think you're being unnecessarily disagreeable.
Just a moment, everybody. Please. I haven't quite finished my story.
Go on then, Perry. Finish it.
There was another meeting called yesterday, a much smaller one. Dame Maggie was in the chair, and Boody, thank God, was playing her matinee.
I hope I've guessed what happened. Go on.
The resolution of Thursday's meeting, by some oversight, had not been minuted. And so, after a rather kind little lecture, I was reinstated.
Hooray! Oh, how perfectly splendid.
And would you all like to know why I was reinstated?
Yes, of course.
Why there was such a change in the weather?
Perry, I absolutely forbid you to say another word.
Just allow me five. Thank you. Dear, dear May.
Well, I'll be damned.
What in the name of the blessed saints did he say that for?
You've been very sly, May. I'm surprised at you. Did you write to Maggie?
I'd prefer not to discuss it.
You must tell us. You really must. Please, May.
Well, I telephoned to Dame Maggie from Miss Archie's office on Thursday evening while you were all at supper. I explained that the whole thing had been a foolish mistake on Perry's part, and that he was too important to all of us to be summarily dismissed for such a trivial misdemeanor. I added that we were all prepared to write strong letters of protest to the committee.
Well, blow me down and bury me bones if that's not the biggest surprise I've ever had in me life. Hats off to you, May Davenport.
Once and for all, will you stop calling me May Davenport?
Who's that, I wonder?
Dr. Jevons, I expect.
Oh, of course, yes, I'd quite forgotten. Oh, how horrid.
I'd forgotten, too, for the moment, what with the Clarion article and Perry arriving and everything. Poor old love. I suppose it's all for the best, really.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
Is Miss Archie in her office?
No, she's upstairs. It's not an ambulance, is it?
Oh, no, nothing like that. Just my old Hillman. I'm driving Miss Myrtle myself.
Oh, how nice of you. I am so glad.
I'll go up. May I suggest something without appearing to be unduly officious?
Of course, Doctor. What is it?
I think it would be advisable if no goodbyes were said or implied. Just behave ordinarily, as though nothing had happened.
It is absolutely necessary for her to go away, isn't it?
In my opinion, yes, but I do assure you there is nothing to worry about. She will be well and most kindly taken care of and never made to feel that she is in any way out of line.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm so glad.
I wonder how he can be so certain that there's nothing to worry about, I mean.
There's no absolute certainty, I suppose. But he is a good doctor and a sensible, kindly man. I'd be inclined to trust his word.
In any case, there really isn't any alternative.
No, I suppose not. But it does seem awful somehow.
Of course there's no alternative. She obviously must go somewhere where she can be under proper supervision. Somewhere where she isn't dangerous to anyone else.
The poor old duck didn't mean to be dangerous.
I'm not suggesting that she did, Benita. But the fact remains, she was.
Was that the doctor?
Yes, he's gone off.
Does she know that she's being sent to... being sent away?
Miss Archie explained to her thankfully this morning that she was going to stay with some new friends, but she didn't seem to take it in.
Oh, poor old girl. I do hope she won't mind.
That's what haunts me. The idea of waking up in strange surroundings and being suddenly lonely and afraid.
Oh, don't. I can't bear it.
An aunt of mine went off her head when I was a wee girl. I remember it well. Oh, there was no shilly-shallying about in those days. They came for her in the middle of Sunday dinner and hauled her up to the asylum like a sack of potatoes.
Oh, Beatrice, really?
I think they're coming down now.
Oh, dear. I don't think I can bear it. I shall only cry and make a fool of myself.
Stay where you are. The doctor said we were to behave as though nothing happened.
We'd better talk, I think.
I can't think of anything to say.
Play the piano, Maud. Play anything that comes into your head.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
Oh, please, just to cover up the silence, quickly.
All right.
Hotel. It has quite an atmosphere of home, hasn't it?
That's right, dear. Come along.
I remember that tune. It's Chopin, isn't it?
Yes, dear. It's Chopin.
I made an exit to it in Lady Mary's Secret many, many years ago. Long before your day, young man. It was a lovely, long exit, and I wore a white evening dress. And just as I got to the door, I turned slowly and threw a red rose to my leading man. It was only a property rose, of course, and he didn't always catch it. But it always brought the house down. Au revoir, my dears. I won't say goodbye because it's so unlucky. It has been such a really lovely engagement. Good luck to you all. Mm-hmm.
You can leave all that mess till tomorrow, Doreen. Go and get the coffee and then cut along home to your family. You've had quite a day.
Okay, Miss Archie, thanks.
And there are two boxes of crackers left over. You can take them to your little brother.
Oh, thanks ever so.
And wish him jolly good holes, jolly good term, and jolly good luck with his 11+.
He's as bright as a button, really, if it wasn't for his impediment.
Good Lord, what's a stutter? Look at that corporal clerk of mine, Betty's something. Worst stutter I ever heard. And where is she now?
I couldn't say, Miss Archibald.
Right up with the top brass at Peter Jones.
Oh.
Run and see who that is, there's a good girl.
Yes, Miss Archibald.
Who the devil can that be at this time of night?
It's someone to see you, Miss Archibald.
Oh.
Good evening.
I didn't realise who it was. Doreen didn't say.
Happy Christmas.
The same to you.
I've been at a party in Maidenhead, and I'm on my way back to London. I thought I'd call in for a moment with this peace offering.
Peace offering?
It's a case of champagne.
Champagne? Good Lord, I really don't think
you... I gather that I'm still in the doghouse.
Oh, well, Miss Fenwick, I wouldn't exactly say that. But, of course, they were a bit upset at the time, and it's no use saying they weren't.
Please, don't be embarrassed. I'm only staying for a moment. You needn't even say that I've been here if you don't want to. You can pretend the champagne was just left at the door. I hasten to add that I am not here in a professional capacity for once. It's just that I had rather a guilty conscience.
I see.
Not about what I wrote. Please don't misunderstand me. That was part of my job. But because I didn't keep my word.
No, I don't quite know what you mean.
I promised Perry I'd make an appeal on my television programme.
Oh, that, yes. Yes, I remember.
But the television people were against it. So was my editor, so I gave in.
Oh, please, don't worry any more about it. It's all over and forgotten. Can I offer you a drink?
No, thanks. I must go. I've got a friend outside in the car. My boss asked me to give you this. For the wings.
Your boss?
His lordship. He's a barking old tyrant, but he's in mortal dread of hell's fire, and so occasionally he likes to make a gesture. Maybe a form of spiritual insurance, or it may even be genuine kindness. With him, it's difficult to tell. At any rate, this is it.
Good God! £2,000!
It's for the solarium.
I can't believe it!
And there are no strings attached. It's a private donation for a specific purpose, so see that the committee don't use it for anything else. Give my love to the inmates. Even that old Irish battle axe.
Oh, please, stay a minute.
No, I think I'd better
go. At least give them a chance to say thank you.
I don't want them to say thank you. They have to say thank you every day of their lives. They must be sick to death of it. I'm off.
Well, perhaps you'll let me say it then on their behalf.
All right. Fire away.
Thank you.
You know, curiously enough, that paper hat is rather becoming. Good night, Colonel.
Good night, Miss. Do they want this coffee in the dining room or in here?
They're in here. Put it on the table.
Okay, Miss Archie. Will that be all?
Yes, Doreen, that'll be all.
Sorry ever so for the brooch. It's smashing.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Well, bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye for now.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, Doreen. The turkey was delicious, Miss Archie. In fact, the whole dinner was perfect.
It will take me at least 3 days to get over it.
We really ought to say thank you to Mrs. Blake. Is she still here?
No, she's gone home.
Oh, we must remember in the morning.
Coffee, everybody?
Not for me. I shouldn't sleep a wink. Hello, what's this?
It's a case of champagne.
A case of champagne? Somebody must have gone mad.
Where on earth did it come from?
I expect you'll be angry when I tell you.
Why?
Zelda Fenwick brought it a few minutes ago. She was on her way to London and she just dropped in to wish you all a happy Christmas.
Zelda Fenwick? Good heavens.
She said it was a peace offering.
Are we to be photographed drinking it?
No. There were no ulterior motives. She meant it kindly. I assure you she did.
I think it was very decent of her.
Send it back.
We don't want to be beholden to her.
I think that would be ungracious.
Champagne, indeed, for a lot of defeated, miserable old crones.
We are not defeated, miserable old crones, Deirdre. We're well cared for, very comfortable, and we've just enjoyed a most excellent Christmas dinner. I think it was extremely generous of Miss Fenwick to bring us a case of champagne. And I propose that we open a bottle immediately and drink her health.
Here, here.
Miss Fenwick brought something else, too.
What is it?
A present to the Wings from her boss, Lord Chartley. It's a cheque for £2,000 for the solarium.
Well, I'll be damned.
£2,000?
It can't be true. It can't be true. Oh.
Look, 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 it is true. £2,000.
Oh, really, Perry?
Oh, where's the catch in it? There must be a catch in it somewhere.
She said there were no strings attached, that it was a private donation, and that I was to inform the committee that it was for the solarium and nothing else.
Booty Nethersole, thou shouldst be with us at this hour.
To hell with Booty Nethersole. To hell with the committee. This is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened.
I don't think you should say to hell with the committee, Bonita, even in fun. They do their best and they did send all of us those pretty little powder compacts.
Oh, come on, Perry, my lad. Bring that case of booze into the kitchen and let's bash it open.
Right, here we go. Always a ton.
I'm afraid we'll have to use tumblers. There aren't any champagne glasses.
Whoever heard of a home for defeated old crones without champagne glasses?
Oh, I'm so glad. So very, very glad.
Oh, cheer up, dear. There really is no good to cry about.
I can't help it. I always cry when something nice happens.
Don't waste your foolish tears on a scrap of happiness, Estelle. Save them until you need them. And you will one of these fine days, mark my words.
I sometimes wonder, Deirdre, if you ever believe anything you say.
And what might you be meaning by that?
I would like to know what inspires you continually harping on misery and age and the imminence of death. Are you so afraid of it? Are you whispering in the dark?
I've never been afraid of anyone or anything, Mother Maud, since the day I was born.
Well, in that case, it would be kinder to spare the feelings of those who are less courageous.
Hooray!
Oh, that's right. Take sides against me, all of you. Just because I'm old and weary and a foreigner among you. You've got more vitality than all of us put together. So be quiet and stop overacting. Overacting now, am I?
Yes, Deirdre, you are. And you always did.
Never mind about all that now. Let's stop arguing. After all, it is Christmas Day. I don't think I've heard that sound since they turned Daly's into a cinema.
Here we are.
This will be the death of me, I know it will, on top of all that brandy sauce.
I hope it's a good year.
Bollinger, 1938.
Never mind.
Only a drop for me, really.
Miss Archie, it was so very kind of you to invite me to share your Christmas dinner. Most thoughtful. I was just wondering, do you think it would be all right if I took just a little sip of the champagne up to Martha? I think it would please her.
Of course. Damn good idea. Perry?
Thank you. She won't be asleep, will she?
She may be dozing, but she never really settles down for the night before 11.
Well, if she is, I wake her very gently. A little unexpected treat never hurt anyone, eh?
You know, that man breaks my heart. He really does. Fancy anyone loving anyone as much as that. Over all those years.
Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom.
Those harping on death now, I should like to know.
William Shakespeare.
Oh, I might have known it.
An unlikely contingency.
I propose we drink a toast to Zelda Fenwick and Lord Chartley. Will those in favour raise their glasses?
I suppose it's the least we could do, really. Come on, Maud.
Right.
Zelda Fenwick and Lord Chartley.
Zelda Fenwick and Lord Chartley. Oh, they are jolly good fellows. Oh, they are jolly good fellows. Oh, they are jolly good fellows. And so say all of us.
Drink up, everyone. There's plenty more champagne in the kitchen.
Certainly. I shall have a hangover in the morning, but who cares?
Come on.
A little of what you fancy does you good.
I don't know what Dr. Jevons would say.
There's always something glamorous about champagne, isn't there?
Because it's a devil's brew and very expensive.
When I was at the Gaiety with Millie James, she used to have a magnum in her dressing room every night. That was in 1904.
Poor Millie. The results were only too apparent in 1905.
Champagne, champagne, champagne. So sublime, so divine, so profane. It pierces the bottles and banishes troubles. Champagne, champagne, champagne.
That's a common little lyric if ever I heard one.
It's the waltz from Miss Mouse. Poor Dolly Drexel sang it at the end of the second act. She had a big headdress of ostrich feathers, and they kept getting into her mouth.
Play the other one, Maudie. The one I like about the little bits of cheese.
Oh, dear. I can't remember much of it. Wait a minute. Won't you come and live in my house, Miss Mouse? Now, you all have to repeat, Miss Mouse. Let's start again. Won't you come and live in my house, Miss Mouse?
Miss Mouse!
It's sweeter than the apple pie house, Miss Mouse!
Miss Mouse!
I will give you honey from the bees, bread and milk and lovely bits of cheese. Please, 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 come and live in my house all together.
Come and live in my house!
Come and live in my house!
Miss Mouse!
This is the most idiotic song I ever heard.
Come on, Benita. Over the hill I'll find you.
Good God, no. It's too long ago. I couldn't.
Come on. I'll prompt you. Over the hill I'll find you. There by the murmuring stream.
And the bird in the woods.
And the bird in the woods behind you will echo our secret dream. There in the twilight waiting, gentle, serene, and still. All the cares of the day will be banished away when I find you over the hill. When I find you over the hill.
Sentimental poppycock.
The words are a little sugary, but it's a very pretty tune.
That'll go better second house.
What was that number you did in Two's a Crowd, Perry?
Oh, no, Maudie, I couldn't. I couldn't really. I'd dry up.
Come on, dear, don't be coy. You're among friends. Play it, Maudie.
No, no, that's much too high. Can you take it down a bit?
Come the wild, wild weather, come the wind, come the rain, come the little white flakes of snow, come the joy, come the pain. We shall still be together when our life story ends, for wherever we chance to go, we shall always be friends. We may find while we're traveling through the years moments of joy and love and happiness, reason for grief, reason for tears. Come the wild, wild weather, if we've lost or we've won, we'll remember these words we say till our story is done. Time may hold in store for us glory or defeat, maybe never more for us. Life will seem so sweet. Time will change so many things. Tides will ebb and flow. But wherever fate may lead us, always we shall know. Come the wild, wild weather, come the wind, come the rain, come the little white flakes of snow, come the joy, come the pain. We shall still be together when our life story ends. For wherever we chance to go, we shall always be friends. We may find while we're traveling through the years moments of joy and love and happiness, reason for grief, reason for tears. Come the wild.
Have you any children?
Oh, yes, indeed. Three. Oh. I've brought some snapshots to show you. I'm afraid they're not very good, but they'll give you an idea.
Oh, I'll put my glasses on.
That's Joan. She's the baby. When that was taken, she was only three.
She looks a sweet little thing.
That's Eileen. She's at boarding school.
Oh, a nice, sensible face. Does she have to wear those glasses?
Yes. She had an astigmatism. They're supposed to correct it.
Oh, poor child. Let's hope they do.
And this is Ronnie, the eldest. He's quite grown up. He's going to be a chartered accountant.
How tall he is, isn't he?
Nearly 6 foot already. He has a wonderful head for figures.
Oh, he's fortunate. Oh, thank you for letting me see them. Why didn't you let me know you were coming?
I wanted it to be a surprise.
You got your wish. It is.
A not too unpleasant one, I hope.
Oh, Alan. Why on earth did you come?
I came to get you out of this place. I had no idea you were here until a friend of Cynthia's sent her a cutting from the Sunday Clarion. But it was months old, of course, but that was the first we knew of it. Well, Cynthia was terribly upset. Really, she was.
Why?
Well, hang it. You are her mother-in-law, after all.
We've never set eyes on each other in our lives.
Well, it's not her fault.
I didn't say it was. I was merely stating a fact. I only heard from her once, and that was 17 years ago, just after you were married.
Well, at any rate, we had a long talk about your situation.
Situation?
Well, you living here, in a charity home. I had no idea. Well, neither of us had, that things had gone so badly wrong with you.
Things haven't gone so badly wrong with me as all that. I'm quite content here. It's a very comfortable home.
Why didn't you write to me when the breakup happened?
I think I'd mislaid your address.
You're being very hard, Mother. I'm trying to do my best. Please help me.
It was kind of you to come, Alan. At least I think it was. I'm not even sure of that.
Well, I am your son.
Yes, I know. Does that sound as strange to you as it does to me?
I'm sorry for having hurt you all those years ago. Please believe me.
I believe you, Alan. I'm sorry, too. I expect there were faults on both sides, but I think it is a little late now to try to bridge the gulf. I'm a selfish old woman and set in my ways.
Here's a letter from Cynthia. She asked me to give it to you.
Oh, thank you.
She means every word of it.
It's a very kind letter. I'll write to her tomorrow.
Do you agree with what she says?
Do you?
Of course. Well, that's why I'm here.
This is a dreadfully difficult moment, Alan. Full of sadness and regret and, well, a sort of hopelessness. I can't find any words to deal with it. I wish you hadn't come. I wish you'd stayed out there in your own life and left me to finish mine here in my own way. In peace and quiet.
Living out your last years on public charity.
Does that sound so very humiliating to you?
Well, of course it does. Cynthia was genuinely horrified when she heard it. Well, so was Myrtle.
Myrtle?
Well, Cynthia's sister. She's married to one of the most prominent gynecologists in Toronto.
How convenient.
Oh, please try to see my point, Mother.
I see it clearly enough, dear. Cynthia suggests in her letter that I come and live with you both. That would be private charity. Is there much difference between that and the public sort?
Of course there is. You are my mother. There is no question of charity.
You keep on making almost defiant statements. I am your son. You are my mother. Do you really believe that they mean much?
I'm doing my best to prove to you that I believe it.
Yes. Yes, I know you are. And I'm being very churlish and disagreeable. But it won't work, my dear. Really, it won't. You and I may be mother and son in actual fact. But spiritually, oh, we're two strangers, shouting to each other across a void of 33 years. When you were young, we managed to draw close to each other every now and then, but not for long. Your father saw to that.
It wasn't all father's fault.
I never said it was. It was mine, too, and also the fault of circumstances. I was away on tour a great deal and beginning to do well in the theatre. Your father, on the other hand, wasn't. He was a very jealous man. Not only personally jealous, but professionally jealous. Oh, no, I don't blame him for taking you away from me. Knowing his character, it was inevitable. But I couldn't have stopped working then, even if I'd wanted to. If I had, we should all three have starved.
There's not much point in raking all that up again, is there?
I think it's important that we should both remember exactly where we stood in a very critical moment of our lives. After the divorce, you had to make your choice, and you made it. You were certainly old enough to know your own mind.
Mother, I really...
No, please don't think that I'm reproaching you. I'm not. I'm merely trying to make you see that certain gestures in life are irrevocable.
Do you mean that you won't come? That you won't accept the home that Cynthia and I offer you?
Of course I won't, my dear. It would be insupportable for everyone concerned. You must know that in your heart. You must. One day, if I live long enough and you can afford it, I would like to come to you for a visit and meet Cynthia and my grandchildren.
Oh, Mother, please don't be hasty over this. Think it over carefully before you decide absolutely.
Very well.
I shall be here until the end of next week. I have some business to do for my firm.
I don't even know what your firm is.
The Ontario Travel Bureau. It's a steady income, nothing spectacular, but there are chances of advancement. And if I hang on long enough, I get a pension when I retire.
Like me.
I think I'd better be going now. I've got a taxi outside.
Wouldn't you like to send it away and stay to tea? We're quite a cheerful little group.
No, really, I'd rather not. Shall I come and see you again?
Oh, yes, dear, do. Please do. Just once more.
Mother.
Go now. Go at once. There's a dear boy.
But Mother...
Please do as I ask. It's been rather a shock seeing you again, so unexpectedly. Where can I get in touch with you?
I'm at the Cumberland Hotel.
The Cumberland. I'll remember. Goodbye, dear. Go now.
Will Wednesday or Thursday be all right?
Wednesday or Thursday will be fine.
Let's say Thursday, then. If I came about noon, I could take you out to lunch.
Oh, yes. That would be lovely. I shall look forward to it. Au revoir.
Au revoir, then.
Look, don't cry. Please don't cry.
I'll be all right in a minute.
Why did he come here?
He brought me a letter from his wife inviting me to go and live with them in Canada. It was quite a kind letter and very carefully written.
And you said no?
Yes, I said no.
I see. Is there anything I can do to help?
Yes, dear May. You can hand me my knitting.
Oh, that's Perry. He'll be able to tell us how the rehearsals are going for the matinee. Here you are.
Thank you.
If anyone had told me a year ago that a time would come when I should really enjoy knitting, I should have thought they were mad.
Really, almost too hot in the solarium. That damn television has started wobbling again. Fortunately, it's only a Welsh choir.
Miss Archie will fix it.
Time for a game of backgammon before tea, Cora.
Bonjour, madame. Comment ça va?
Ever so très bien, thanks.
Many happy returns, May.
Oh. Perry, you know you're breaking the rules again. You know perfectly well that any mention of birthdays is forbidden in this house.
Here's just a little something to make you smell pretty.
Many happy returns, May. Why happy didn't birthday. You tell us? Oh,
thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, Perry, you really shouldn't have. I'm most displeased and very touched.
Has Topsy Baskerville arrived yet?
No, Miss Archie went up this morning. She's bringing her down on the 2:05, so they ought to be here any minute.
Poor old Topsy. I wonder how she feels.
There's no need to wonder. We all know how she feels.
I was with her at the Hippodrome during the First War in 1915. She sang, Oh, Mr. Kaiser.
Oh, yes. I remember that. Oh, Mr. Kaiser, see a legal advisor. You've bitten off much more than you can chew. For when Mr. Tommy Atkins comes a-marching to Berlin, you'll be gibbering like a monkey in the zoo.
Have a banana, oh, Mr. Kaiser. For when you're older and wiser, you'll learn some things you never learned in school. When we found up the watch on your dear old Ryan, you're going to look the Potsdam fool.
Who is this Topsy? I've never heard of her.
Topsy Baskerville. She was in musical comedy and revue, mostly.
Poor thing. So exhausting.
She's a sweet old girl. You'll love her.
I'm sure we shall, Perry, dear. I'm sure we shall. Oh, I expect that's exactly what you said a year ago when I arrived.
Yes, I expect we did. Fancy. A whole year ago. It doesn't seem possible, does it?
I remember I was in deep despair. Lonely and hopeless and feeling as though I were going to prison. And now, after a year in prison, I feel suddenly free. Isn't that curious?
Come along. This way, Miss Baskerville.
Why, that's my song.
Hello, Topsy. It's me, Benita.
Oh, Mr. Kaiser, when you get older and wiser, you'll learn some things you never learned at school. When we wound up the watch on your dear old time, you're going to look a Potsdam fool.
In Waiting in the Wings by Noel Coward, you heard in order of appearance Josephine Gordon as Benita, Evelyn Leigh as Cora, Audrey Leyburn as Maud, Mary Ellis as May, Mary Wimbush as Deirdre, Ursula Hurst as Estelle, Joan Matheson as Almina, David Griffin as Perry, Jill Balkan as Miss Archie, Alan Wheatley as Osgood, Dinah Sheridan as Lotta, June Spencer as Dora, Alice Arnold as Doreen, Patricia Hayes as Sarita, Hannah Gordon as Zelda, Peter Craze as Dr. Jevons, and David Googe as Alan.